Oh, we got a good hour in store for you. Our good buddy, the Monday 905 guest, is in studio for nearly the full hour on a Wednesday, and that is good news in the depths of the dog days of summer. Darren Haynes in studio, Flames from 80feet.ca. Haynesy, always good to get you in studio. How are you?
I'm enjoying scenic downtown Calgary.
And very cost-effective parking in downtown Calgary. Good on you for shelling out some dough to be here.
I think it's $3 a minute, so let's get going.
Seriously. Okay, so without too much fanfare and buildup, because we've been talking about it since Monday when we had you on to tease, the top 20 prospects list for the Calgary Flames. You have completed it. You are set to publish it. It has just been published. What is the word? You're literally waiting to publish, aren't you?
I'm going to publish a little bit later today. Got to hustle off to go see Brian Elliott right after this, and so right. We'll circle back and we'll get that up on the blog a little later this afternoon probably.
So this is a Pinder in the Morning for Glenn Moradi exclusive release of the top 20 prospects. We thank you for doing that with us. I know you could have podcasted on your own, but we're still friends even though you have a podcast, right?
I sound better on this podcast.
Fair. It's clearly just Jay and the production value. I wouldn't think there's anything else holding you back. Why don't we get right to it, starting with a quick rehash of what's happened since we last spoke. You've done, last summer was the first ever rankings. You did a mid-season rankings in January to sort of adjust as for the play of a half season for all these guys. And now here we are, year two, release one of the top 20 prospects. Let's start with your departures and graduates, because there's some guys that were in the system that aren't anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So we last did it in January to get us through the All-Star break. So we kind of have these time nicely to get us through the summer and to get us through the All-Star break. Since that time, four departures from the list. Marcus Granlund has gone to Vancouver, and slowly recruiting a lot of his Calgary friends. Derek Grant signed with Buffalo. He was number 12. And number 16 and 18, Bill Arnold and Yoni Ordeo, of course, were not qualified, so are not back. Speaking of not qualified, it's interesting. One of the biggest feedback from the January edition was, how can you not have Kenny Agostino in the top 10? What is going on? Well, Kenny Agostino wasn't in the top 20, and he has also now departed. So,
yeah.
So those are the
still
four departures.
Still not in the top 10.
Still not.
And I was not one giving you the Kenny Agostino flack. I was one of many who suggested you might need to get off the crazy pills with Mason McDonald ahead of John Gillies. And I do think I found a little bit of your bias. We'll get to that as this progresses. But why don't we get right into it? I mean, we've sort of counted down from 20 in the past. Let's start at the top this year. These are the guys to get excited about the most. And we'll start at number one with a guy that I think we'll agree on. I have done my own top 20. Let's see how we match, and yours will be the authoritative list and mine will sort of be the sounding board list here.
All right. So number one, making his debut, which should pretty much give it away, is Matthew Tkachuk. He's a top five talent. How he fell to six is a dream scenario for Calgary. I envision this guy playing this year. He, I got it wrong with Sean Monahan, and I'm hoping to get it right with Tkachuk. If he doesn't play this year, he is going to play a prominent role for many years to come. I think he's a pro. You listen to him talk. You can tell this guy just oozes confidence. He's very serious. He's committed to making this team in September, and it could be a scenario where they get him in there and they can't get him out of there. And those nine games roll off the clock. Nelson were 10, 11, 12, and the season's underway, and he's right in there in that top nine somewhere.
So, well, he's going to play. It's a question, will he get to that 10th game? Boom's taking all the credit for saying he was going to play first, but he's absolutely going to get at minimum the nine-game look, right?
You would think. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's spots. There's openings on this team, and we've saw him right up until right through May in the Memorial Cup how good this player is. So fully expect him to be in the lineup at least the 10 games, and whether he graduates to the NHL of this year or next year, it doesn't take away the fact that he should be a very impactful player for many years to come.
All right, I have Tkachuk number one as well, and number two, I think we're going to agree as well. We go with a goalie and a guy that only played seven games pro, and yet we continue to keep him right near the top of the list.
Yeah, lots of, a bright future, everyone expecting for John Gillies. And what was interesting about John Gillies talking to him at development camp, I did not realize this, that his injury that they shut him down for last November after he had that first month and he had a couple shutouts, and then all of a sudden he was shut down. That was an injury that he had 2 years earlier that he had just been playing through.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable. So now, and he talked to me, he's like, wow, I can move my hip. I can open up my, it's just, he's like, and he's already putting up good numbers. So you kind of wonder what the limit is for this guy. He's a goalie, so you ultimately never know. I expect him to see all of this season in the AHL and probably another one right after that. But certainly, all signs are this guy is the goalie of the future as it stands today.
Yeah, play and play a ton, kid. No question about it. And I imagine he'll be much higher than Mason McDonald, who will eventually stumble across on this list somewhere. I'm going to go ahead and always take a guy that's proven it at higher levels. And when he's the best goalie in college hockey versus a young guy in the CHL, I know what sample size or what quality of competition I'm going to trust more. You want to draft a CHL goalie at 17? Go ahead. I just don't think you ever know what you're getting. We'll move along. Number three, we vary. Who do you have in the third slot?
Well, and I'm going to say 3-4 because I think they're that close. And I have the two Swedish defensemen, and I still have Rasmus Andersson slightly ahead of Oliver Chillington. And the reason for that is I still go back to the fact that the Flames picked Andersson before Chillington in that draft. And beyond that, Andersson has done nothing other than maybe have an extra sandwich or two in April and May to have his ranking drop. Like, Andersson has shown that he is a high-end player. He showed that last year in training camp. He went back to Barrie and again was a star defenseman there, led the OHL in scoring for defensemen during the regular season, led the OHL scoring for defensemen in the playoffs. This is a very good player. Conditioning, I'm not too concerned about. That's something, you're conditioned in July. So, the thing with European players is this is a little bit new for them. They should get it by now, and Rasmus Andersson has been playing in Canada. But those guys are used to taking longer summers, So if he comes back and he's ready to go in September, he's going to be, I have no reason to think that he isn't going to still be the star player that is kind of, that we're seeing right along the way so far.
I have Brandon Hickey at number three, and we'll get to him on your list pretty quickly, I would imagine. A stellar season at a higher level, and a guy that I just think the world of. Andersson has looked very good, but his quality of competition is lower against younger hockey players. I have Andersson checking in at 4. So we're both very high on Rasmus Andersson. The conditioning thing's a non-issue because a year ago we were talking about a 2.
Yep.
And if he had an issue a year ago and he had a great season and he still has a bit of an issue that, isn't correlated to him playing poorly, I don't think it's an issue.
Yeah, wait till he's actually in shape, see what kind of numbers he puts
and
in.
And if he's, maybe he's not going to. Maybe he's just going to be a guy that's a little bit chubby. There's a few of those in the league that do very well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you there. And maybe his dad being in North America will be a little incentive to him. His dad's coming over to assistant coach Ulf Samuelsson in the AHL next year. Yeah. So the whole Andersson clan, his brother's playing in the A with Hartford in the Rangers system. So lots of Andersons in the AHL next year.
All right. So I go Hickey 3. You haven't got him yet. Let's go to 4. You have Shillington. I have Shillington much lower on my list because I don't think he had a great season in the American Hockey League. And I understand he's one of the youngest players there. But if he's just going to be a great skater and not be really good in his own end, I don't think he's anywhere close to the NHL. You're going to have to learn to defend, son. And I don't think last year did anything to establish that he's close to the NHL. Maybe I'm off. I mean, what were your conversations with Huska like about him?
No, I think he's not knocking on the door. I think it was, the fact that don't be confused that he played game 82 last year. Don't let that thing make you think he's that close. But his defensive game came a long way. Ryan Huska said he was very committed to getting better in that area, and he did get better in that area. And that's the stride you're hoping he'll take at that age. He's a year older now. He was already given the responsibility of running the power play down there. I just, and that, again, that skating, I just had flashbacks I saw flashes of TJ Brody during, whenever you see him on the ice, he's up in the rush, he's dangerous, but then he's back so quickly. I think that skating's really going to carry him, and as he's cleaning up that defensive game, I think he still is very much on track to be an impact player.
47 games played last year, just 12 points for a guy who we think will be better at offense and defense. I'm sort of the camp, let's wait and see on Shillington. I'm not as bullish as others. I'm still part of the camp that says he fell from top 5 to number 60 for good reason in his draft year. Let's continue on. At number 5, you have who?
Mark Jankowski. Mark Jankowski's been on the rise pretty steadily. Go back a year ago, I had him at 15. He jumped up to 8 last January, and now I have him at 5. you know, there's such a stigma about Mark Jankowski, but it's almost time to really move past that. Every time you see him on the ice, he's filled out. He's a big guy. He's strong on the puck. He just looks like a player. He went back, played that fourth year at Providence, was a big part of that team's success. Providence is a very defensive-oriented school. You can't get caught up in his counting stats. I don't think he's going to be a prolific, high-scoring player, but he could be a very effective two-way player, and I think he's on track for that.
And in 8 games in the American Hockey League, he posted 6 points and looked very good. Some scouts from other organizations I heard speak about him. He was their best forward from the time he joined Stockton to the end of the year. Now, again, not flush with forward prospects that are knocking on the door necessarily, but that still is impressive for a guy who'd never played at that level before. I've got Jankowski number 6. I check in with the diminutive OHL sniper Andrew Mangiapane at number 5. So we'll get to him on your list in a moment. Who do you have at your number 6?
So then at number 6, we have the return for Marcus Granlund. We have Hunter Shinkarak. Hunter Shinkarak is a guy that can score. And that's in this league, that's what you need is guys that can score. And he's showing an ability to do that at all levels. He'll do whatever you can. That's the thing that Ryan Huska loves about him is he'll go to the net and he'll take a whack and he'll take an abuse, but he goes where you need to go to be there to score goals, and he loves scoring goals. There's going to be a home for that skill set on this team. Could very likely be in the top 6 and might be sooner than later. So I have Hunter Shinkarak number 6.
I have Shinkarak number 8. So he's not there on my list yet. It was a lovely little debut in Calgary. But want to see it more at the NHL level than what we did. And yet you're right. This is a guy that was a prolific scorer in the American Hockey League and a team gave up on him. So there's a lot of skill there. He would have been the best player in the American League, maybe outside of Derek Grant, if he was with the Stockton all year.
Yep.
So that is a thing. Let's go to 7. You've got the guy I had at number 3. And Brandon Hickey, previously 3rd and 4th on your list, has dropped to 7. What has he done to drop?
Well, this is the thing. It is often not about dropping. It's just about other players moving up. So I do not look at Brandon Hickey really in much of a different lens than I've always looked at Brandon Hickey. I have Hickey right there with Chillington and Anderson as that next wave of defense that will be, that should be this team's core, you know, 3-4 years down the road. So what happened with Hickey? Why did he drop? Because Hunter Shinkarak wasn't in the organization, because Mark Jankowski has been on a very steep ascent, and I like what Oliver Chillington did last year. So that's the reason. It's nothing, again, it's not a slight on Brandon Hickey, and the fact that Brandon Hickey is number 7 on my prospect roster, to me, speaks to the depth that's in this organization's prospect cupboards that hasn't been there in the past.
To 7 we go. I told you I had Jankowski at 6. At 7, who do you have?
So Hickey was at 7. So
Number 8. That's where we're at. My apologies.
So for 8 is where I have Mangiapane. And hard guy to rank. I would have loved to have him put him up higher. In place of who, though? And that's, again, speaking to the depth in the organization. Mangiapane is looking like a really filthy steal of a pick for a 6th rounder. Really curious to see how he makes that jump to the AHL. That level of competition is going to go up significantly. He's not going to be able to wheel around the ice with the same authority that he has in Barrie, but he's got some high-end skills, and I'm anxious to kind of see how his first season will go in Stockton this year.
106 points in 59 games. Safe to say he's ready for a new league. He's too good to go back to the one he's in.
Yeah, him and Anderson, I would fully expect both of them to be in Stockton.
All right, so you have Mangiapane at 8. At 8, I drop in Tyler Wotherspoon, a guy that I think if you had a different coach in Calgary, we might not even be on this list anymore. He has not graduated by the standards that we've put out, I don't believe, because he hasn't played enough. He was in the American Hockey League more than the NHL by a vast margin last year, despite the year before being up for what felt like a third of a season. I am bullish on what he is and how close he is, and I think that the coach is going to give him more opportunity than the last one they had.
Yeah, I think so, and he certainly looked like a different player when he came up last year too. So Wotherspoon, I like as well, not quite that high, but Wotherspoon is not far away on my list.
Number 9, where do you go?
Well, another debut, and this is Tyler Parsons. So Tyler Parsons, the second guy that the Flames drafted just this most recent draft, they were not planning to take a goalie this high this draft. They were pretty frank about that. They had him going as an early second round pick, and when their second round pick went in that deal for Brian Elliott, they assumed that Parsons would be long gone, and they kind of had thought that ship had sailed. So when it got to their pick at 54th, and Parsons was still there, and they had him significantly higher, they just couldn't resist Obviously, the scars are still fresh from the goaltending travesty that was here last year, looking to bring in a guy that they're really high on. Again, a junior goalie. He's a long way away, but they really like everything about him. I think he's underrated and kind of got lost in the mix of that really strong London team. So I have Tyler Parsons in at number 9.
I got a 15. I'm not going to be fooled again on CHL goalies that are 17 years old. We just don't have a clue. You know, Mason McDonald, we thought was going to be what? And he might be going back. Is it for a 20-year-old in major? Like, I just think it's very easy to A, overvalue this year's draft class, and B, project 17-year-old goalies from the numbers they've put up. It's just, it's fool's gold for me. I won't be fooled again. I have Parsons much lower. At number 9 on my list, Garnet Hathaway checks in, the big, gritty fourth-line winger, who I think makes this team out of camp. And while it is not a high ceiling, it's a guy that maybe scores 10 goals and mucks and grinds. And I think his proximity to this club and his ability to help them in an area they haven't been good. Push Bowling off the depth chart, please. I've got him at number 9.
Yeah, and I think that might be more of a philosophical thing on how we construct our list. For me, I think Hathaway is a very good chance to make this team for sure this year, but I don't see him as anything more than really a fourth-line player, and so that kind of impact is not where I have guys on this list. I have guys at this point in the list. We're still looking at guys that have the potential to be kind of top six players.
Yeah, and you know what? This is about balance, because you can have a ceiling of being a star player in the league and never play a single game. There are guys like that, right? We're talking about rolling the dice. If everything goes right, he's a star, but he's not. He didn't make it. Not a star. You know, think Ryan House. He scores 50-plus in junior. If he could ever get the conditioning, he's going to be a star. Well, he didn't, and he's not, and he never played. So he's got a high ceiling, and yet the other side of it is Garnet Hathaway's never scored 20 goals in this league, and yet we know he'll arrive probably as soon as this season. He's not the safest bet to be in the league out there, but he's an example of a guy that's a much safer bet. So balancing those things on different lists is probably how we come up with rankings with different numbers. Let's go to what, number 10 for you now?
Yeah, familiar face, drifting a little bit, is Emil Poirier. So second a year ago, right behind Sam Bennett, and he fell to fourth last January, and now I've got him at 10th. Still potential there. We're still talking about a young guy who's 21 years old, but we're talking about someone that came off a pretty poor season right from the start to the finish. It was a case, you know, Huska has told me that, you know, it was one of those scenarios also where that first year he was kind of scoring on all his breakaways, and last year he was hardly scoring at all on all his breakaways. So there is some variance there where sometimes the numbers may look a little bit deceptive, but I think Poirier would even admit that it wasn't a good season. And this is someone I'm really anxious to see who shows up in September. Is this the Emil Poirier they drafted 22nd overall in 2013, or is it the Emil Poirier from last year? And if it's the Emil Poirier from last year, he may be one of those guys that isn't in the organization a year from now.
So. Yeah, I've got him 16 on my list because this is a guy who had the greatest opportunity last year to crack this squad. How are they on the right side? Not great. You knew they were going to probably move out Hudler. Had a really tough time making an impact at the American League level, never mind the NHL level. To me, the ceiling dropped, the likelihood of being an NHLer dropped, so he's way down on my list. To 11 we go. Actually, you know what? There's our top 10. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's 9:24. Want your texts on the list. And people are saying, Pinder, we don't care about your list, just do Hainsey's. Okay, well, we'll start with that. I'll stick with the guys I have in my top 10 until they're gone, and then we'll leave it to you, Hainsey. I don't want to steal your thunder. It's nice to see where there's agreement and consensus.
Absolutely.
Versus divergent opinions. So my list is completely out to lunch, Pinder. That from the text line as well. We'll come back with 11 through 20 on Darren Haynes' top 20 Flames prospect. Year 2, release 1 on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. 9:29, we'll continue with Darren Haynes about 10 to 12 minutes. You want to make sure you get down to the Dome on time for the
Ryan Elliott
unveiling. So we don't want you to miss the Moose, as he's apparently nicknamed.
Yep.
It is the top 20 Flames prospects as released on flamesfrom80feet.ca later this afternoon. This is the sneak peek, the debut, the exclusive release here on Pinder in the Morning, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Matt Tkachuk, 1. John Gillies, 2. Rasmus Anderson, 3. Oliver Shillington, 4. Jankowski, 5. Shinkarak, 6. Hickey, 7. Mangiapane, 8. Parsons, 9. And Emil Poirier, 10 is where we left off. Let's get to 11 through 20 and checking in at number 11. Not previously ranked and brand new to the system.
New to the system, two taken back in June, two picks after Tyler Parsons, is the other second rounder, Dylan Dubé, the Cochrane product. So Dylan Dubé, I was impressed. I didn't know too much about him. Just from getting to see him a little bit on the ice and doing a little more digging, you can see why he went where he went. Not a big guy. He's 5'11". That seems a little generous, but boy, is he skilled with the puck. Just, again, a guy that just oozes confidence. He's not going to be here very soon. He just turned 18. He's a few years away, but has the kind of skill set that could project to be second or third line guy if it all works out for him.
Hainsey, if we went back 3-4 years and looked at all the second rounders that they've picked, would they safely be top 12 prospects any year ups up their draft year?
Yeah, well, this is
I'm calling you on your bias here, and maybe I'm crazy, and by all means let me know. 96090. This is Hainsey's expertise, not mine, but I do think as hockey people, we overvalue the last group of kids we picked and it's every year, and then the next group comes and you forget about the year before. So for example, 2013, Monahan, Poirier, Klimchuk, all first rounders. Kanzig, a second rounder. Waugh, a fifth rounder. Kanzig, a third rounder, excuse me. Harrison, Rafikov, Gilmore. Those guys would have been in top 20 prospect rankings, and now there's probably three left of the seven.
But someone's got to be 11 on the list. Or you want a third rounder in there? A fourth rounder in there?
No, I want someone who we know more about.
I think, as it is, I mentioned this the other day. Let's say if we're going to compare second round picks from this year, 2 years ago, and 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the guy that was just picked should be behind the other guys if those other guys have really just plateaued and done that. This guy is still developing.
Right,
so there's still upside. This is all an exercise in projections based on the upside that could be.
Right, but there's also probability too, because otherwise if it's just upside, you look at the Matthew Phillips kid and he's top of the list, because if he is going to play, he's going to be a point-producing playmaker. There's also probability factored in, whether it's huge or not, right?
Yeah, but what's the probability of a guy that's taken in the second round 3 years ago? Why should he be higher than a guy that's just...
Neither should be this high is my point. My whole suggestion is that we just fall in love with the most recent draft class. You have Dubé at 11. That's fine. Tell us about your expectations for him. You said second, third liner if things pan out well?
Let's just complete that thought. How many of these guys will make it to the NHL? We're probably beyond that point. Probably the 6 or 7. Right, so this is number 11.
Yeah, half
so
if again, really well.
it's all just projections. Okay. It could happen. If it happens, this is what we expect.
To 12 we go. A guy I had at number seven. Excuse me.
Yeah. So I have Tyler Wilderspoon. I'm also high on Tyler Wilderspoon. Really liked what I saw last year. I don't think he'll ever be a top pairing defender. I think his highest, maybe he's a top four. He's kind of that number four guy. I don't know if he'll be much more than that, but I think there is that ability there. And I think he could be that. And this is a big year for him because he's now waiver eligible. So he's going to be in Calgary to stay unless he really fumbles away that opportunity. And if that is the case, he's going to fumble right off this list.
Yeah. And this is a perfect guy for discussion point of view on the probability. Cause there's a, if you had to project who has the better chance of having a decent NHL career, Wotherspoon or Dubé, I feel like it's probably pretty close. One guy's just way closer than the other. So yeah. I guess we're splitting hairs here to begin with. 13, you go to a 23-year-old who has never set foot on NHL ice before, but could have some upside.
Yeah, so Daniel Preble is the guy I probably wrestled with the most in terms of where to slot him. He was drafted into the NHL. He was a sixth rounder by Montreal back in 2010. Didn't really do a whole lot until the last few years, and his points per game in the Czech league have just gone up significantly to the point where last year he was the second leading scorer in the league behind another familiar name, Roman Cervenka. So Preble's coming in with, coming off a very good year. How much do the Flames like him? Well, he tore up his knee before they signed him, and they still signed him. So the Flames see something there, and I'm putting a lot of kind of stock in what they saw. They had scouts that saw him live. I haven't seen him live. So based on kind of what they've seen, what they like about him, what I've heard, that's where I slot Daniel Preble.
Very good. Preble, I had forgotten about. That's a guy that definitely, if you need someone to come in and play a role who, rather than roll the dice with a kid, I wouldn't be surprised if he came up, not unlike David Wolf did at the end of 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Guy that played in Europe that probably maturity-wise, is going to be able to handle his business and find a way to make an impact, albeit a smaller role if he comes up?
He's on a two-way, 2 years, so they have lots of time, no problem sending him to the minors. I'm sure that's where he'll start because he's still rehabbing from that injury. He may not even be ready for camp, but he could be a guy that gets called up pretty quickly if he shows that he is a NHL player, not an AHL player.
To 14 we go. The slide continues for Morgan Klimchuk. Previously 7th, then 9th, now all the way down to 14th. The former first rounder had a good but not great year in the American League. We heard the coach rave about his play away from the puck, but the points aren't there yet.
Yeah, went 12 games without a point. His last 33 games, he went without a goal. It was a tough grind for Morgan Klimchuk last year. When you're a goal scorer, and Klimchuk, let's remember, put up 100 goals over his last three junior seasons. He turns pro, goes down to Stockton, probably has really ambitious goals, and he scores three times. You know that was eating him up. Huska confirmed that I was really a tough, kind of a tough mental slogging for Klimchuk. But yeah, spoke highly about his play away from the puck and says he's a guy to watch for this year. So he could have fallen further if you look at his stats alone. But, I'm going to still think that first round pedigree, let's give him another shot here. Give him that second year of pro and let's just see how he does.
Adam Fox checks in at 15. I was really happy when the Flames drafted him because it was the anti-blustery Burke in front of a camera. He was not big, truculent, and physical. He's a very skilled rear guard who's put up some pretty impressive numbers in terms of comparables.
Yeah, they love this guy. They think him, they kind of, the comparison I've heard is Brian Rafalski-esque, just the way he moves the puck. And yeah, for them to take a defenseman that high, that's that small, there's a lot there that they like.
16, Mason McDonald. The skid continues. You had him as high as 3 at the beginning of a year ago. Has he hit a wall? Has he regressed? Or has he just not continued to get better at the rate we thought when we had him 3rd?
Yeah, most alarming, I think, last year in terms of that was how it went at the World Juniors, where he made the team, didn't play all great, and obviously didn't gain the trust of the coach, who had opportunity to go back to him and never did. Things kind of were rocky in Charlottetown as well, but he finished off fairly strong. And I know talking to Jordan Siglett at development camp, they're really anxious to get him kind of up to the next level and let him kind of settle in under the guidance of the Flames coaching staff. And so we'll see where it goes. So still lots of time. Again, he's a junior goalie. Those are always up and down. They're roller coaster rides on these rankings, I bet you, if we go back and look at these goalies.
Yeah, goalies, I'm always in the wait and prove it mode with them. Even still, like, Ordio is how old now? 23, 24? And it's like, what do we know about him? We still don't know much. And he's, into his mid-20s. As for the McDonald selection in 2014, what you don't want to do is go and look the guy they didn't take that was ranked higher. Pretty good player.
Yeah. How many NHL wins though?
0.
Right.
But Gillies, how many NHL wins? And right. Why is he on the list?
Exactly.
Very similar pedigree to Gillies, who you have 2. Yeah. And that's Thatcher Demko who we're referencing. Brett Kulak, 17. He made this team out of camp last year and yet barely cracked your top 20.
Well, again, he dropped 6 places, but there are 6 new guys that moved in. So Kulak is really in a holding pattern. There's just a lot of new guys that have come in that have, in my opinion, higher upsides at this point. Again, projections. So Brett Kulak is a very solid player. He's probably has the ability to be a kind of a third line defenseman or a third pairing defenseman. And he could be that as soon as this year or probably maybe next year when all those defensemen clear off the blue line. So I like Kulak a lot still. I don't think he's got the high end potential, but he's closer to making it than many of the others.
Skates really well. Everyone likes that as well. 18th, you go to the development camp standout, which always scares me because I remember people raving about James Martin's play way back in the day. Tell us about Atu Tulola.
Well, again, a guy that you didn't know too much about, a newly selected guy. Just again, you don't want to read too much into it, but at the same time, you have to kind of recognize what they did and recognize what you saw. What you saw was a big guy that definitely can play the role of a power forward. What you saw was a guy with incredibly soft hands that I did not know was kind of in his toolbox. So you put all that together and yeah, skating needs a lot of work, but there are a lot of tools there that could make him an impact player if he's able to make it. At 18 on the list, you're a 6th round pick. You're not looking to get Jesse Puljujarvi at 156th overall, but this guy looks a nice first impression. We'll see if he comes to, he'll probably be in Everett in the WHL next year, and we'll be able to kind of follow his progress a little closer. And he's years and years away, but at least he did crack the list, and that's good on him.
Big boy. 230, 6'2", at the age of 18. That's someone Berkey's going to like. Let's move to your last two, rounding out the top 20. You have Garnet Hathaway at 19, who we spoke about, I had in the top 10, and Adam Olish Mattsson, the big Swedish rear guard, who we continue to wait to come over to North America. Do we know when it's going to happen?
Well, he's got a two-year, and he's got 1 year left. So he's back in Stockholm playing for Djurgårdens until and then I wouldn't be surprised if he does come over come over to North America for next season. I was impressed. Again, I've been impressed with what I see out of this guy. And again, I've referenced this once before. On the Craig Button list, the Craigslist rankings, he had Mattsson higher than Jake Virtanen that draft year. Whoa. And I always thought that was interesting because Virtanen went at 6.
He had Virtanen criminally low, and he was really bullish on Mattsson.
Yeah, so I've always just kind of thought, well, let's just see if maybe he was onto something with Mattsson. And so far, certainly looking like better than 6th-round value. So a tribute to Mattsson. I've liked what I've seen from him, and he continues to kind of be a guy that has a chance.
You've got 5 honorable mentions. Ryan Culkin, who was previously 15th and 13th. Lyndon Vay, who was acquired as a free agent, who's on a two-way contract. Linus Lindstrom, another member of this year's draft class. Pavel Kharnikov, who is now gone and played in Russia. That's going to hurt your probability of ever being an NHLer if you're in the K. Former Hitman, of course. And David Rittich, the Czech goaltender they have brought over, who will likely split time with Gillies in the American League, if I had to guess. One guy you haven't mentioned that I wanted to bring up was Freddie Hamilton, who came in and looked pretty all right, and I don't know if he wouldn't be one of the first calls if he starts in the A.
I agree. He's probably one of those guys because he's a veteran guy from AHL standards. But what is Freddie Hamilton long-term? Is he? I just kind of see him as always that fourth line, maybe a call-up kind of guy. And all the guys I have ahead of him, the 20 on the list, the 5 honorable mentions, project to be better players if they pan out. So that's why I don't have Freddie Hamilton.
Again, the low ceiling, but the higher probability for a guy like Hamilton. Cool. How was it? You always sort of go back and forth and have inner battles on lists. Was there a certain point or a number or a specific matchup between two guys that you found difficult this summer?
No, it was exhausting. Like, honestly, it's been on my mind a lot. I woke up this morning and made further changes. It's kind of like that. You wake up and you just go, you know what? My gut says this. So I switched up. Preble was one that I was just trying to slot him. And
well, you don't know much about him, right? That's the hard part.
Yeah. Really. So, but it's a good exercise, and now we'll see how it'll play out. And, in January at the All-Star break, we'll look back and we'll laugh.
Yes. And if my assertion is correct, the previous draft class will slide more than anything else, but we'll see. Maybe they absolutely crushed this year more than any other they've had. We will see. It's a ton of pleasure. When are you publishing it, and what do you enjoy about this in terms of feedback? I imagine this gets lots of clicks and comments on when you post it.
Yeah, there'll be some complaints because people are pretty passionate about their guys, and they're either I got their guy too low, so that'll be no pun intended there.
A too low, low.
So there'll be some flack that way, but hey, that's part of it. And this is very much opinion stuff. It's absolutely opinion stuff. It's weighted opinion for me. I consult with a lot of people and kind of pull this together, but there's definitely gut feel. There's definitely kind of what I've seen with my eyes in there as well. So yeah, it's fun. And when to expect it? Like I said, I'm off to the Saddle Dome now for the Brian Elliott presser. But when I get a chance to circle back to a computer, we'll get this thing up and loaded on the website, flamesfrom80feet.ca.
Hey, thank you for coming in. This is really cool that you do this. I think it's a great conversation starter. And if it causes good Flames debate, we appreciate it. And you also had to take my beatings I may be completely out to lunch. Probably am. And yet you put up with it. So thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good one.